Well, Steve, that's interesting. The survival of the fittest is a reflection of our belief in what we call Darwinian theory of evolution. And in fact, it's very interesting because of the four myth perceptions that we talk about. The first myth perception is really a misunderstanding of Newtonian physics, which drops out the invisible energy phase. However, myth perceptions number 2, 3, and 4 are all predicated upon our belief of Darwinian theory. So we'll be talking about survival of the fittest next, and then about the role of genes in controlling our lives, and then lastly, the concept of random evolution. So let's go back into the story of the theory of evolution because it was profoundly important in introducing the paradigm of scientific materialism. Before Darwin, science couldn't actually participate in shaping culture because it didn't have an answer to the very first question of the three perennial questions, that question being, how did we get here? And up to this point in time, how we got here was actually the story of creation that the spiritualists offered us in the age of monotheism. And that was the whole story that God, in some amazing tour de force, created the Earth in a Genesis story that lasted the first 6 days of the creation of the planet. In fact, the church was so secure in its stand that God created the planet in those 6 days that it actually came up with a date of the creation of the planet, which is Sunday, October 23rd, 4004 BC. And you might say, well, how did they come to a date like that? And the answer is, well, Bishop James Usher actually went through the Bible. You know that beginning part in Genesis where somebody begat somebody and somebody begat somebody? Well, James Usher took the begats backwards in time. And then by doing that, got back to the appearance of Adam and came up with the date on that Sunday morning in October 23rd. And what's really interesting about that is, well, this is a biblical understanding. It's interesting that in today's world, many, many people in the United States today still believe this as a reality that the earth was created on October 23rd, 4004 BC. However, this was all about to change with the work of Charles Darwin. Now, Charles Darwin, who started out to become a medical doctor and failed out of school, ended up to going into the clergy because that's what you did as an upper-class wealthy citizen in England at the time, in Victorian England. If you failed at everything else, then at least the clergy was an option for you. So upon completing his clergy study, Darwin had an opportunity to go on a voyage on the Beagle with a Captain Fitzroy. And the relevance of Darwin's presence on that vessel was actually he wasn't selected as the ship's naturalist. He was more or less just a social friend to the captain. And the reason why is simply this. Remember, Victorian England had an upper class and a lower class. And Darwin, as a member of that upper class, was also familiar with the fact that upper class and lower class don't mingle. And here's this Captain Fitzroy on the Beagle being the only upper-class person on the ship with a whole bunch of lower-class attendees running the ship. So he actually invited Darwin to come on more like a cabin boy friend so that he'd have somebody to socialize with. So Darwin came on as just as a social partner on the boat. However, during their voyage, as the boat left England and was heading towards South America, Darwin and the ship's doctor got into a conflict over issues. And interestingly enough, the ship's doctor in the Royal Navy is also the ship's naturalist. But the little interaction caused the good doctor to jump ship in South America. So all of a sudden, the Beagle was not only without a doctor, it was also without a naturalist. Well, the interest of Darwin's put him into that position, so Darwin unofficially became the ship's naturalist and had the opportunity to travel around with this ship and go to the Galapagos, for example, and study nature in its raw sense. Now, you might get the idea that Darwin just all of a sudden one day said, whoa, I have a neat idea. Look at all the variations in these organisms. I bet you evolution provided for that. No, it wasn't like an apple falling on Newton's head that came all of a sudden, here's the concept of gravity. There was no evolution apple to hit Darwin at all. Darwin carried a very important book with him on this ship, actually two volumes of a book called The Principles of Geology by Charles Lyell. Charles Lyell was the most preeminent scientist at the time, and his book on geology was actually perhaps the second most important book in the history of science, with Newton's book on the laws of the mechanics of the universe being number one. And the reason why this book was so important by Lyell is that Lyell looked at the Earth and recognized that it wasn't really created in the state that we see it in today, that the Earth itself evolved over time, that the continents and the geography of the planet was in a constant state of flux by natural forces such as earthquakes and volcanoes and weather and climate changes causing erosion and moving and changing of the geography of the planet. And he said that over this evolution that life had come and life had gone. And as a result, Lyell's book on geography also explained the nature of fossils such as the mysterious dinosaurs that were showing up at this time, because people were trying to say, well, what animals are these and how come they're under the ground like this? Did God make a mistake in creation, decide he didn't want these? No, it started to look like that life and the planet were co-evolving at the same time. So it was also interesting that in Principles of Geology, Lyell had four chapters on evolution, the story provided by Lamarck. Lamarck, who most of us don't even recall anymore, and some might remember in their early days of biology as Lamarck was considered the buffoon, because Lamarck came up with the first theory of evolution 50 years before Darwin. But Lamarck's theory was based on the fact that Lamarck saw that organisms and the environment were in a lockstep interaction, that organisms just weren't randomly placed in the environment. Polar bears weren't in the tropics, orchids weren't in Antarctica, that wherever the organisms were, they fit the environment. So obviously Lamarck said, well, that's not a coincidence that the environment and organisms are connected in some way. Well, the issue about that was that unfortunately, when Lamarck came up with the theory of evolution, that was during the French Revolution. And as a French citizen, when they threw out the church and all the spiritual monotheistic beliefs that were entailed in that church, Lamarck had an opportunity to look at the world outside of the blinders of monotheism. And that's when Lamarck came up with, wow, this concept of evolution makes sense, and it makes sense out of the fossils that have been found. Unfortunately for Lamarck, the French Revolution failed. And the king came back, and the church came back. And in so doing, they really put a big hammer right on Lamarck's head, made him look like that buffoon, the image that we still hold today of Lamarck. In fact, that's the image that was presented, that Lamarck suggested that animals had a conscious will to desire. It's the cartoon that you see sometimes where a fish is at the edge of a pond and a little bubble above the fish's head. Boy, if I only had legs, I could just walk out of this place right now. That was the kind of belief they attributed to Lamarck. Lamarck never said that. Lamarck just said that organisms have a need to evolve as the environment changes. And in fact, Lamarck was very important. Back in 1809, he said that the problems that will face humanity is that they will distance themselves from nature. And that as they do this, this will cause a disruption of civilization. And really, this is exactly where we're finding ourselves today. But let's get back to old Darwin. So Darwin's on the Beagle. He's reading Lyell's books, and therefore he's really involved in the concept of an evolution of the planet and perhaps that evolution of animals as well, a challenge to the conventional belief offered by the church in monotheism. Well, 6 years later, the Beagle lands back in England. Darwin's so excited because over this time he's had a lot of correspondence with Charles Lyell, again, the preeminent scientist of the day. And in fact, when he came back, Darwin was essentially a Lyell groupie. He met Charles Lyell and actually then became a protege. And Lyell said to him, you know, on your visit to all these different places, you saw all these variations in species. What do you think about the concept of evolution? Well, Darwin thought that was a pretty neat idea. Maybe I'll work on that. Well, this was about 1836 when Darwin started to actually really put down his notes on the concept of an evolution. But I have to tell you, Darwin was stymied for over 20 years because he couldn't figure out a means or a reason for evolution. He could say, well, we can see that evolution may exist, but I don't understand what would drive evolution.